Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. Dave Schmidt, I'm your host here again tonight on the Cosmic Connections, and this is the October 14th program. I want to welcome everybody. I'm here in my home in Boca Raton, Florida, and I know as we're getting into this time of the year, for those of you that live up in the northern United States, it's starting to cool down as you're experiencing, you know, the fall weather, but southern Florida, we're still a subtropical climate. It's still up in the high 80s, so it's still very, very nice weather here today, and so all is well here. And Blanca, how are you doing this fine evening there in Atlanta, Georgia? And I visited you. I was up there last weekend for the workshop. So how are you doing tonight?
That's right. Well, we're having very nice weather, of course. And the listeners always know I like to brag about the fall colors in Atlanta. The trees are starting to show their beautiful golds and reds and cranberries. So once again, enjoying the fall. And yes, it was nice to see you here in Atlanta and to see some of our other friends, because Alan and I attended your workshop.
It was a great, great time. Folks, on the workshops, the attendance is really falling down. I think it's because of, you know, the situation on the COVID scenario, but you need to know we're doing just fine and there are no problems there. And I'll let, you know, Blanca make some comments, but the response coming in from the people on the new material that I've put together, that they're just absolutely loving it. I had one couple there, they said they've been to 7 different workshops, and they said this is absolutely by far the best that they have ever heard or seen. The new material is very good, it's very relevant, and it's very practical and pragmatic into what we are moving into and where we're going as a humanity, and how all the money fits into that. So Blanca, why don't you go ahead and just share your comments about what you thought of, because you were there, and it's best sometimes that it comes from someone else other than me. So, yeah.
Well, that's right. Well, of course, it was nice to see you, and nice to see, I'm going to call them friends now, because these are people that I've seen in other workshops that you've done in Atlanta and other cities in the Southeast. And it's lovely to see them and connect with them and to see how solid people are becoming in terms of their individuality and their convictions and their sense of, how can I say this, sovereignty, I guess is what I can say. And we compare notes about what's going on in our communities, et cetera. And it was nice because the hotel, of course, like most businesses that are very public, said that, you know, masks were encouraged, but there was no real strict enforcement. Now, there were some people who did, you know, wear their masks, et cetera, and there were some who didn't. And then in the conference room for the session, the attendees were very comfortable not wearing masks. Of course, we weren't piled up on each other. It was an intimate group. And this session, what I liked was, because it was more intimate group, there was more participation, and we had time to, there was a lot of times where we just stop and have a conversation about what you were sharing. And I remember when you started to talk about just the latest information about the currency exchange and some of your thoughts about the currency exchange and your most recent talks with some of your contacts. That was good. It was good to get another perspective, an update, and that the theme of the currency exchange was woven throughout the entire session, which we liked. I mean, I liked that a lot. And the material, you did have some material that we've heard before, but maybe a little bit different emphasis. And then in the afternoon, there was a lot of practical information. You've always encouraged us to continue what I would call our own inner work. And another way to put it is a movement towards increasing our own awareness and our own empowerment. And so in the afternoon, we spent a lot of time listening to other luminaries who had, their perspective on what that was about increasing awareness. And they had their perspectives about, you know, practical practices, So a lot of time was spent on how we could actually bring these ideas into a practical experience in our lives so that it would work for us. So, yes, everybody was very complimentary, charged up, encouraged to continue on the path. I think we all kind of reinforced each other that we were on the right track in terms of the topics that we all like and embrace, like increased freedom, increased abundance, increased sovereignty, increased awareness, those sort of things. So that was kind of our experience with it. So I encourage people to, you know, if they've got the time and it's not a difficult thing to get to Florida, to go ahead and go. I know some people still may be a little cautious about the COVID thing, but if people have been paying attention to even some of the things the CDC has been putting out, a lot of doctors have been coming out, and basically they're saying that this thing is pretty much similar to the flu, and it's some of them are even starting to regret that we went to such draconian, and I picked that word on purpose, measures, you know, on this thing. And so I would encourage people to, you know, maybe get some more information about this, and if you're a little concerned about the safety of it, maybe some more information about this will help ease up any concerns that you have. So those are my thoughts, Dave, and you probably got similar feedback from the other participants.
Well, I think the thing that seemed to be coming in the most was they enjoyed about the material I'm bringing to our is practical, and there's a lot of how-tos versus just information. How do you do this stuff? How do you make these transitions? What are some of the practical things that you can do? And I'm doing something I have never, ever done before. And for those that are attending the workshops, I'm also now giving them access to the full PowerPoint presentation that I have, because there's hundreds of slides that I go through in the whole presentation. It's all designed around a PowerPoint presentation. And then what it does is they don't have to so extensively take notes, because all the information is there and they can go back. And I basically use a password scenario, and then they can download, you know, the PowerPoint themselves with the password that I give them after the attendance. And so that's something new also that I'm doing, is that you get the full complete PowerPoint of my presentation. Now, I haven't done that in the past because I've always had to be very careful, because if it got out too big and too much, I mean, it would. We've got people that so oppose what we're doing, they would take it and just destroy it. They would, you know, tear it apart. Because once it's out on the internet, you lose control of it. So, but that's why I do. I give that to the people who have attended the workshop, and it's through a password. They get access to the whole complete PowerPoint. And what they're hearing is the difference also. The big thing is the practical how-tos. But how do we do this stuff? How do we make this transition? What are the things that we can do? And then again, like you had mentioned, Blanca, I do share a lot more information about the currency exchange that I can share in a small private group that I just can't share on the internet because of security issues. So, yeah. But, okay, well, anything else then you would like to share with us?
No. Again, it was nice seeing everyone. And I think that's one of my favorite parts of it, is revisiting with folks, comparing notes, having conversations, really. When Alan and I were kind of digesting the experience, we said, it's really nice to talk with people who understand totally what you're talking about and don't look at you like, what planet are you from? And so that's always nice. It's nice to talk with people who have, you know, similar experiences. They're working on similar things in their lives. And so that's always really nice.
Yes. So the schedule is for November 7th, which is a week from Saturday. We're in Fort Lauderdale, Florida here, and we have plenty of room. There's not that many people signed up yet, so just know that there's plenty of room. And folks, I always say, if you want to be there, I want you to be able to come. Now, yes, I have to charge because I have to cover my expenses, and this is also how I supplement, you know, my living, and how I make a living by people showing up at the workshops. But if money is tight for you, I have the scholarship rates. So I want you to be there, because it's a whole different scenario when we get to have a full complete day to digest all this information, and then we get to interact and share it with other people, and the questions get answered, and the questions coming from the people are always so helpful for all of us. So yeah, that's so I'd love to have you there. That's November 7th. Now, I had November 21st as Oslo, Norway, and I've been communicating with Jan, the man there that's in Norway. And as of now, we're probably going to have to cancel that because Norway still is clamping down on people coming in from the United States. And I would have to go through a 14-day quarantine before I'd even be able to do the workshop. So I'm not going to go to Norway and sit in a hotel room for 14 days just to do a workshop. So, but we've got a couple of weeks to see if things open up. But as of now, it's not looking really good for Oslo, Norway on November 21st. But I am still going to go ahead and go forward. I should say, no, I'm sorry. I was wrong on those dates. October 24th. A week from Saturday is Fort Lauderdale. November 7th is going to be Phoenix. Now, I'm waiting for a call back from the hotel. They were supposed to call me today, and they didn't. If we can't meet in Phoenix, I'm almost positive we can, we will do it instead in Sedona because I know we can meet in Sedona. They are allowing meetings to take place there. So most likely Phoenix with the probable Sedona on November 7th. November 21st is the Oslo, Norway that is basically having almost certainly going to be canceled. And then December 5th is Las Vegas, folks. And that one is going to be etched in stone because I know they are allowing meetings to be taking place in Vegas. And that's a good time to kind of get away to, you know, before we get too deep into the holiday season around the Christmas time. So it's nice to go for Vegas, baby. And it'd be nice just to have a good, fun time there together for all of us. So, again, October 24th is Fort Lauderdale. November 7th is Phoenix. November 21st, I'm not going to reschedule anything. If I don't get to do Oslo, I'll have to leave it open. And then December 5th is Las Vegas. And we would love you to come. Very pertinent, very relevant information. How do we deal with this? Why is all this money happening? And how do we allow this to come into our lives? So, Blanca, with that, is there anything you would like to share with us before we go into the program tonight?
No, I think we're good to go.
Okay. Tonight, I am going to share a video of a gentleman that I have been listening to on and off for almost 8 years now. He goes by the name Zing Dad. His name really is Arlingham. He's out of South Africa is where he lives. And yes, he channels the Palladian is what he does. But his messages have always been so relevant and pragmatic and to the point of what's going on. And when I heard this, I thought, oh my gosh, he put a perspective on what's happening in the upcoming elections and the whole COVID-19 scenario that we don't hear from very many. And yes, it is. It's Adamu is the name of the Palladian that he is channeling, that he is speaking through the message on that. And I heard that, and I went ahead and shared that with the people at the workshop in Atlanta, and they absolutely loved it. And I asked Mrs., do you think I should do this on the radio program? And they all just overwhelmingly said, this would be absolutely great, Dave, to just share this. So I'm going to share this with you. If you want to be able to get this yourself, you could, all you have to do is go to his website, ZingDad, Z-I-N-G-D-A-D, ZingDad.com. I did put also the link out and the information on the newsletter that I sent out, and that's where you can get the information to, if you wanted to listen to this yourself, okay? So here we are, and we're going to listen to him tonight, okay?
Greetings to you, my friends. I am Adamu of the monadic entity of the Pleiadian civilization, and I'm speaking to you, as always, through my trusted friend and scribe, Zingdad. As always, what I would like to be speaking to you about is your awakening, the elevation of your consciousness, your enlightenment. And what I am going to speak to you about is the related topics of your elections and the coronavirus, and then I'm going to invite you to an interaction where we can really begin to talk about awakening and ascension. So, elections. This is not normally a topic that I would wish to address with you. We as the Pleiadian Collective are not normally particularly interested in the political theater that occurs here on planet Earth, because normally you're being presented a collection of choices that are always still just fronts for the global elite, the dark cabal, the Illuminati, whatever we are calling them. As of now, I find I'm choosing to call them the D-elite, dark elite, busy being erased from this position of de facto leadership of the planet, busy losing that status, therefore the D-elite. The elections now in the United States are interesting in that this is something more than the usual political theater. This is actually a battle, a litmus test, I suppose one could say, in the battle between two levels of consciousness. On the one hand, we have the D-elite and their deep desire to put a cap on the elevation of consciousness, to disallow humanity from rising from third density much beyond fourth. The fourth density of consciousness is the density of other responsibility. At the fourth density of consciousness, you are willing to place an other on a pedestal and to say, you lead me, you teach me, you tell me what to do. And the D-elite offer you idols to place on those pedestals in the form of all of their useful tools, in the form of press, the figures of authority that appear in the news, in the form of their politicians, and they make a business of possessing politicians, of buying them in a variety of ways, controlling them, manipulating them. Entertainment, they make a business of making sure that entertainment fits within their agenda and that the stars that you worship, your stars of entertainment, are also agents under their control, also possessed. And it goes deeper than that. They have been working for quite some time now to make sure that they are in control of educators, of scientists, and as always, pastors and popes, religious authorities, religious figures. Wherever they can, they strive to take ownership and possess and control through a network of manipulation and control anybody that might be seen to be somebody that would be an authority. And so they block your consciousness from rising above other responsibility, and then they tell you who you must give your authority, your responsibility to, and you do. And so you are led like lambs to the slaughter. You are taught and trained and controlled and manipulated. And a substantial section of human population continues to be manipulated and controlled in this way. Their consciousness continues to be held at that level, four density and lower, other responsibility and lower. But the awakening that is occurring through a variety of agencies, star seeds, light bringers, beings of high consciousness incarnating here iteratively, going through the pain of the shattering, and now at this time awakening, now at this time bringing bringing new light into the human noosphere, helping you to awaken above 4D to 5D and above, which is the consciousness of self-responsibility, and above 6D is unity consciousness. But already at the level of self-responsibility, you look to your own authority. You look to your connection to the divine that you find within yourself. And if you find the connection to the divine within yourself, you're very unlikely to place others on pedestals. You're very unlikely to simply follow like a sheep. You become self-motivated. You know who you are. You know what's true for you. And when you see these talking heads on television, these authority figures, you listen to what they say and you start to see through the lies. You start to look more broadly for your sources of information. You start to find alternative streams of information and you have your own filter in place. You say, this is true and that's not. I'll go with this and that doesn't resonate for me. Self-responsibility dawns. And what's happening right now in America, I say it's a litmus test of the battle between these two types of consciousness, because the other responsible are clearly playing the game according to the elite's wishes. They're engaged in all kinds of dirty tricks, in all kinds of voter fraud, creating maximum pain and chaos, really promoting a story in your collective consciousness that everything is going to hell and that you need to get back on the bandwagon. You need to, again, begin to follow the leadership that is being offered to you, that the elite support, or else life will become completely untenable. So this is what is going on right now, and it's very interesting to notice that you definitely do seem to be moving strongly towards the self-responsible timeline. When we notice that less and less of you are believing the press, something like 2/3 of all respondents to a recent survey in the United States said they find the press to be largely not believable. About 1/3 said utterly unbelievable. So these kinds of indications are interesting. It will be very interesting to see what actually happens with the election. Because now, as with the last election in the United States, it is a test of consciousness, but now it really matters. Those of you that have been watching carefully, those of you that have been using alternative media sources will know that the last 4 years of the present presidency have really been about putting everything in place, preparation for a seismic shift in the political landscape, in what is happening in American politics, because there has been so much dirty business. And all of this is going to be brought to the surface. It's going to be quite a shock for many, for those who have been attached to their other responsible position. They are going to be, what we see in the future, what we see coming is, if you stay to the self-responsible timeline, a big shock for the other responsibles, an opportunity for grand awakening, and they may take it, they might not. It will be interesting. I don't want to say a lot more about the elections. They are important. If you are in America, if you're an American citizen, if you are able to vote, well, make your choice appropriately, but I'm sure you already are. So this is really more of an update. What's also very interesting at the moment is what's occurring with the coronavirus pandemic. What I wish to say is this, my friends. First of all, the coronavirus is a manufactured virus. Again, if you've been reading behind the scenes, this won't come as a surprise for you at all. It's a manufactured virus. It was produced in a laboratory, and it's not very difficult to guess which that laboratory was. What's interesting is that the production of this virus was financed by the elite through their agents, their tools, their minions, paid for the development of this virus. The purpose of this virus really comes down to just one thing. Why would they manufacture this virus? They always have a number of purposes that it will serve, but the primary purpose was just this: to make Earth humanity clamor, beg for a vaccine. That's the overriding number one purpose, to make you beg for a vaccine. Why do they want you to beg for a vaccine? They want to be able to universally vaccinate the whole planet. Why do they want to do that? The vaccine that they have in mind, that they were in the process of developing while they were developing the virus, is a gene therapy tool. Now, my friends, this is not something to be taken lightly. Gene therapy. Therapy being a euphemism. The alteration of your genetic code. What is it that differs, that makes you human? You're an eternal, immortal spirit being. You are in a human body. Your body is as it is because of your genetics. That's what makes you human, and not some other kind of a physical form. You're a human because of your genetics. If they can control your genetics, they gain vast access to the controlling of all of humanity. And what they wish to do, we've spoken about this just a moment ago, the capping of consciousness, keeping you below that threshold where your consciousness awakens to self-responsibility. And yes, it can be done through genetic means. Your genetic code is a lot more than your science currently usually represents. That is to say, most who follow what science teaches would understand that it's purely material. It's your genetic code is a collection of amino acids that result in the building of your body and nothing else. Well, it is already understood by certain of your scientists that your genetics are far more than that, and that you can actually manipulate and control the kind of consciousness that can be propagated into a body, and the kinds of thoughts that can easily be thought. You can limit the connection between the light body and the physical body by damaging essentially the genome. And this is just one of their strategies. They really are control maniacs, the delete. They want total control. They want to control you absolutely, and a very powerful tool that they are almost ready to actually implement is by controlling your genome. And this is the purpose of the vaccine. Now, when the vaccine arrives, it probably won't immediately, almost certainly won't immediately have that dire level of activity. Their plan is to reveal to you after the first vaccine that, oh, we need regular boosters because your immunity doesn't last that long towards the coronavirus, and because the coronavirus mutates and there's a second flush coming across the earth, and we need to vaccinate you again. And the idea is to let you believe that each round, each vaccination, this is it, but that there will always just be a booster, 2, 3, 4 per year, for every single human on planet Earth, every year into eternity. That's their plan. Total control, placing a cap on consciousness. Why this will fail is interesting. First of all, it fails because of the awakening in humanity. There is certainly a sufficient percentage of all humans right now that will resist being vaccinated. Just on some instinctive, intuitive level, they say, this doesn't seem right. And so there will be sufficient refusal that their plans won't work. But to aid this, there has been a very interesting development. And to discuss this development, I need to take a brief step back and tell you what it is that we, as the Pleiadian civilization, what do we do when we encounter a viral agent that causes epidemic or might potentially cause pandemic amongst our civilization? What do we do? Do we vaccinate? We don't, beyond the point where we believe it's necessary to have an intervention in the physical body. The bodies are intelligent. They have beautiful, intelligent immune systems like yours. Our bodies have the same kind of mechanisms. We are also genetic beings. We're very similar to you in many ways. So what we do is, as soon as we discover such a problematic virus, is we take the virus into the laboratory, and our technology, our understanding of genetics, DNA, RNA, and so forth, is really substantially in advance of your own. I don't wish to gloat, you're doing very well, but we've had tens of thousands of years of uninterrupted development before your civilization was even in its infancy. So it shouldn't come as a surprise that we really have mastered these techniques. And what we do is we take the virus and we look at its genetics and we alter the virus's genetics and release an altered strain, which we call a domesticated strain. You know, if you look at the dog and you compare a domesticated dog to a wild wolf, dogs versus wolves, wild versus domesticated. Well, a wild viral strain propagates through the population and causes illness. A domesticated viral strain is far, far, far more contagious, far more likely to propagate through the population, jumps from person to person and propagates rampantly, but is not at all damaging to your health. A domesticated strain. Now, if you think about that for just a moment, the domesticated strain will completely outcompete the wild strain because it's far more contagious. But you don't mind, because when you catch it, it causes negligible harm. There is an immune response. Naturally, your body recognizes he has a virus. Your body knows what viruses are, and in your case, the coronavirus. The coronavirus is a mutated member of a family of viruses which your body knows so well. You have colds which are caused by coronaviruses. They're of the same family. Your body knows what a coronavirus is. So if your immune system is functioning and if you're nominally healthy and you got the wild strain, you would probably be fine. You would get ill, not feel well, but you'd get over it. If you get the domesticated strain, you have perhaps a day or two, three at the very outside, of your body's immune system responding, coping, producing its own antibodies, doing its beautiful genius thing that it does, which is responding to such a threat. So this is what we do, and this is why we actually when we have a viral strain like that, we pass around little vials, and we willingly, knowingly take a few days off and infect ourselves with the domesticated strain, and life goes on. So that's a domesticated strain. Now, by some, let's call it miraculous divine intervention, there seems to be what very much appears to be a domesticated strain doing the rounds on planet Earth right now. Which means the coronavirus has gone from being a threat to becoming less and less of a threat. The wild virus is still out there. And there are still many human beings with terrible comorbidities, people who are very ill with all kinds of things. And there is still, at this point, there is still a powerful political agenda to drive your demand for the vaccine. So you are being lied to wholesale about the impact and the effect of the coronavirus. People who are dying of other things, you're being told they died of coronavirus. The test is, that is used, the PCR test, is not intended to be used in this way. You get false positives. In every possible way, you are being manipulated to continue to demand the vaccine. It's no longer necessary. If the vaccines were produced by really trustworthy laboratories whose intentions are absolutely the purest, then I would say there might be a case for a very small section of the population, those that we know to be truly at risk, to be vaccinated. People who have real health problems, people who are old, obese, who are struggling with problems of the lungs, problems of the heart, problems of the vascular system. There's a case to be made that a ethically crafted vaccine could be used. But for the rest of the population, given everything that's going on, given the medicines that are available, if you get it, that you don't get too ill with it. Given all of that, given what's known, if the medical fraternity and the so-called World Health Organization were truly all operating from a place of integrity and honesty and authenticity for the greatest good of humanity, then there would not be a push at all for global vaccinations. So that then my update on the subject of the coronavirus. My friends, there's so much going on. And we are able to have this conversation and things are able to proceed as they are because the elite are in as much trouble as they are. They're a many-headed monster. In mythology, there was a beast called a hydra. A creature with many heads. That's what they are. They're a many-headed monster. And there, up until sometime fairly recently, there was one head that bound the others to its will and was controlling this monster. And so it was working in concert, working together, total domination and control of the planet. That head has been decapitated. If you want to know about that, we have spoken about it. It's called the story of the ancient red vampire. Have a look at that if you haven't already. But as a consequence, there are now many heads, and they're not all playing together. They form temporary alliances. Those alliances break and shift, and they attack each other, and there's internal conflict, and that's why they keep dropping the ball. That's why it was possible in the last election in the United States for an agent that doesn't serve them, for an agent not of the elite to win the election. That's why it's possible that it's going to happen again. That's why Brexit could happen, and so many of these difficulties that the elite have been struggling with all stem really from this decapitation of their previous head. So, my friends, what I'd like to say in closing is we will be having live events. I will be speaking through Zingdad at live events coming soon, live on the internet. So not recorded like this format is, but speaking to you in person. And if you'd like to join in that, those events will be finally to talk about awakening and the elevation of consciousness, to talk about your transformation, to talk about discovering the divine within, to help you to find that, to help you to bring your own divine light into your being. So raising consciousness from self-responsible up to unity consciousness. So what we'll be doing, we'll be addressing this in a number of ways, meditating together and having deep conversations together about awakening. It's really time for us to move the conversation in that direction. So, as always, a fairly lengthy update from me. I look forward to our shared live events. Stay tuned. Zingdad will be announcing that soon. Until then, stay strong. You're doing beautifully. I love you all with the heart of oneness. I am Adamu of the monadic entity of the Pleiadian civilization, and I have been coming, as always, to you through my dear friend and scribe, Zingdad. Until next time, goodbye.
Well, very, very appropriate and very what I call relevant information that had come through there. As I had mentioned to you, I have been listening to him off and on for about 8 years, and I've always found the information to be very relevant, very good, very accurate. And it was just, it so reflects, I think, where I am coming from, that we live in this world with, he calls them the elite, the dark elite. I call them the cabal. That it's their obsession, almost an addiction to power and control and whatever it takes to stay in power and control. And it's obvious that the coronavirus is a part of that. And what one of the things that really people, that after we had shared this at the workshop in Atlanta, they picked up is that the message that is coming out of our time together in the workshop is that there is a path and an alternative and a means to free ourselves from that. You see, the currency exchange is all designed to give you time and freedom so that you can do the work that is necessary to stay at what he called the fifth level of consciousness and then moving into the sixth level of unity consciousness. It takes work to get there, folks. And the vast majority of us, we live in these in this world where we have to work, and you know, between work time and preparation time and commute time, it takes up 10 to 12 hours of our day. And between all that and then taking care of family issues and everything else, we're lucky if we get 2 to 3 hours a day to ourselves, to do our own inner work. And what we talk about in the workshops is that this is the path that we get to go on now to break free from this world of slavery that we've been in, so we can start doing what is called our inner consciousness work to be moving into that level of what is called unity consciousness. Ultimately, that is who we are and what we need to be working toward as a humanity. And that's really kind of comprises a lot of the new information that I'm bringing there. So I think it's something that, you know, you would love to come and understand. Well, Blanca, why don't you share with me your thoughts with the information there? You had heard it also over the weekend, and now, so this is your second time. So share with us what you think about that.
Well, it's just an amazing thing that this message comes from, you know, a being with a different level of consciousness and awareness, and yet they're sharing thoughts of things that we've talked on the show and your workshops have addressed. And I think some of us, yes, we pay attention to this shift in consciousness, and maybe some of us take it as like a side, like a side of mashed potatoes. But really, I think it's the main meal, really, that this is the main thing. If we use the filter that everything we're experiencing now is a result of this shift in consciousness, the people we meet, the experiences we have, the decisions we make, and look at it from that perspective, I think we're going to be in for a very interesting ride. You and I were talking about how you can see that people are really living in different realities right now.
Yeah.
And conversations that you have, you can bring up something that seems pretty obvious to you, and the other person will look at you and blink your eyes like they have no idea why you're saying that, or they can't believe you're saying that. So I think this shift in consciousness is a very real thing. And in fact, he posits that that's what the delete is all about right now, that's what we're seeing right now, because they recognize the shift and they realize that this shift is a threat to their usual position of dominance and control.
Right. Yeah. Let's do this. Folks, if you would like to call in and share your thoughts, or even if you have some questions, let's go ahead and give out the phone number there. And that number is 515-605-9356. And again, that's 515-605-9356. Go ahead and call in, press 1 on your touch-tone phone, and that kind of brings you up at the top of our list here, letting us know that you would like to come in and join us on this. So, you know, Blanca, you so hit on that, is that what we're seeing is this real division beginning to take place of where people are in their levels of awareness and their levels of consciousness. And Zingdad had brought that out, what he's called the fourth level, where you're always surrendering or submitting yourself to someone who's in power and control, the authority figures. You allow them to dominate how you think, what you value, who you are, and your life is, in essence, is somewhat overridden by them. And it's almost like you're living your life for them and not for yourself. And then when you start moving into, you know, what he called the fifth level of consciousness, is that you become self-aware. You let that world be, you let those things be, because you understand that your real purpose in life here is part of your own development for your own awareness, your own expression, your own expansion of who we are as humanity, moving into understanding who we are. And he didn't go into into much of it, but then he says ultimately it's always moving into what is called that sixth level of consciousness, which is unity consciousness, where we come together as a unity of people. And where Adamu, the Palladian, comes from on that level, they pretty much live that way. But he says they've been at it for tens of thousands of years beyond us, and we're just starting to understand this and moving into this as a collective. And that is always where we are, our progression of where we need to go, because that's what life is about. And until we understand that, we're going to continue to live in what is called the lower levels of consciousness of slavery. We're going to continue to be that others are going to dominate and control our lives. Others are going to dictate us what we're supposed to do, what we can and what we cannot do. Others are going to control us over what is valuable and what is not valuable, instead of learning that for ourselves. And that was one of the reasons why I enjoyed this message so much, because it was very practical, very down to earth, very pragmatic, how the elections can have an impact on that. And then even what we're seeing is the cabal's ability of power and control using the coronavirus. And what was very positive, he says, we're moving beyond it. We are moving beyond it. There's that domesticated strain, is the term that he used, that we're beginning to have here. It's happening in our world, on this planet, that it's not going to impact us anymore, but they're still going to try to convince everybody you got to have the vaccination. And he told you what the intent of that was. So, well, Blanca, let's go back to you and share some more of your thoughts there.
Well, yes, I thought it was interesting, and you probably heard it too, when he just said that the elections are a litmus test on the direction that we're going to go or want to go or choose to go on these two different, I wouldn't say opposing, two different ways of embracing consciousness. He just basically said that's what that is. Didn't tell us how to vote, but he just said this is the way this is manifesting, this tug of are we going to continue to be what he calls other responsible, where we give others authority over ourselves, or are we going to continue to push towards self-responsibility, where we are responsible for our decisions, the information, our own education, our own decision-making, our own health, that sort of thing. And so it's really interesting to look at it from that perspective, don't you think?
Well, it was interesting, and even how that ties in, as you know, at the beginning of it, when he talked about the elections, and Adami was saying normally from their perspective, they don't really involve themselves that much with the elections that we have here on planet Earth with the in the United States, because really we don't have much of a choice. Both of the candidates are what are called controlled by the delete, by the cabal. And I did talk about that about 3 or 4 weeks ago when I talked about the governing process and the election process. And I'll go over it really quickly again. Here in the United States, a president cannot get elected without raising scores of millions of dollars. And so what happens is the cabal controls who gets to raise the money. And I shared with you the illustration when we go back about 4 years and we had the 2016 Republican primary election. And on the Democrat side, it was pretty much already decided, you know, Hillary Clinton was their candidate. And she was the cabal choice candidate. Well, in the Republican side, early on when they had the first, you know, debate, there were about 12 candidates that were up there. Donald Trump was the only one that wasn't out raising any money. The other 11, there was one candidate that had outraised all of the others combined. That was Jeb Bush. So what you saw again was this cabal controlling who could raise the money and who they wanted their choice and their control candidate to be. It was very obvious they were pushing Jeb Bush to be the Republican candidate. So regardless of who wins the election, Republican or Democrat, Jeb Bush or Clinton, they would have been in control. And I'm giving you what is my opinion. Fortunately, the Republicans rose up and said, wait a minute, we're done with the Clinton-Bush era. If we would have had another Bush, it means that going, we would have had 36 years of either a Bush, a Clinton, or an Obama in the presidency or the vice presidency. And even in the Obama, you still had a Clinton, Hillary, as Secretary of State. So you had these powerful controlled, what I call cabal-controlled entities of our politics, the Bushes and the Clintons on both the Republican and Democrat side, totally controlled by the cabal. And up steps Donald Trump, and they can't control him because he doesn't need the money. Because, see, if the money becomes the tool of the power and control. And I think that's what's being reflected here again, and we're seeing the same thing. We're once again seeing the old controlled system on one side versus basically what is, you know, the person Donald Trump who is not dependent upon the control of the cabal money, and they can't control him. And that's why there is so much opposition, so much attack that comes at him from the cabal controlled mechanisms, whether it's the entertainment industry, the media industry, and whatever it may be. So we're seeing again, you know, the really clear choice that's taking place in there. So, well, Blanca, we do have one person that has called in, and I should say that said that they were ready to come on the air. Are we ready to go to the caller?
Sure.
Okay. We'll just go right directly to the person. It's the, they're from area code 203, so I'm going to bring them right directly on the air. Here you are. You're on the air here with Dave. What can I help you with?
Hi, Dave. Yes, I listened to the news once that the pundits, the political pundits that we hear on the radio, and it looks like the Republicans, like Sean Hannity and those people, they're going to have a surprise news report saying from the New York Times and the Washington Post, they're saying that the Democrats coming out with reports about Joe Biden, how he lied and is directly connected to foreign entities due to his son's Hunter Biden's connections with that company he ran. And then today on Sean Hannity, they're saying, Democrats are going to have surprise reports just before Election Day. They're ready to release it. This was Bill O'Reilly talking. And they're coming out with reports about the Democrats are going to launch attacks on Trump through the Washington Post and the New York Times about very negative stories about Trump. And so it looks like there's going to be a lot of fireworks. Question is, who's the worst liar? I mean, they all claim, the Democrats are claiming that Trump's a big liar. And then they also, the Sean Hannity people are saying that Joe Biden's a liar. So is one worse than the other?
Okay, it's not about Trump versus Biden. It's about power and control of the cabal versus humanity. That's what this is about. If you're going to get involved in the drama around Trump and Biden, there's going to be drama on both sides. You're going to find reasons to attack both. You're going to find reasons that you don't like both of them. It's not about who they are. It's about who controls them. That's what this is about. And we have seen so far that they can't control Trump. Does Trump have his problems? Of course he has his problems. Is there things I don't like about him? Of course there is. But it's not about Trump versus Biden. It's about who controls higher than that. And Biden is a puppet to the cabal system. There's no question about that. And Trump has showed us that he is trying very much to keep himself free from that process. Forget Biden versus Trump. I mean, they're going to attack. They're going to facilitate each other. They're going to get nasty. It's going to get extremely negative in the next couple of weeks leading up to an election. That's par for the course. And they're trying to influence the people who aren't aware and awake. That's how I see this. So I say, let go of the battle between Trump and Biden. Forget that stuff. Don't lower yourself to that level of the drama. It's bigger than that. It's far bigger than that. And just let it be. Keep yourself in a very high and positive vibratory state and let the lower level drama, just let it go on. And I use the term, be the observer versus the participant in the drama that's going on out there. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. You had some other things you wanted to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's pointless to know which one you want to believe in or know which one is more corrupt or a bigger liar. I mean, it's just senseless to try to connect to either one of them. So why vote? Why vote on either one? I mean, which is the better one to have as president? I mean, we've got the Lincoln, like he had 60 Minutes this past weekend, the Lincoln Project. Republicans absolutely despise having Trump be reelected, and they're directly campaigning against him. So I don't know if you missed that on 60 Minutes, but so why vote? Why should anybody vote then?
Because if you vote, then you're choosing to be a slave and let others make the choices for you. That's why. Come on. Why would you even think that way? Do you want other people totally controlling you? You're back to almost the third level of consciousness if you want to live in that form of a slavery. At some point in time, every single one of us need to take responsibility for what we understand. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, But for the people who say, why vote? Then you're so totally focused on the third dimensional problem of this horrible, horrible, corrupt world. And our consciousness is to rise above that, rise above it, let go of this world that is not there. As a human being, our job is to keep ourselves rising up to higher levels of consciousness, and we come to understand that the world we live in, and I've talked about this many times on the program, this physical world is nothing but a holographic illusion, and it's not real. And it's designed, the cabal uses that as a mechanism to keep us stuck here in slavery and keep us controlled by them. The question for you is, where do you want to be? Now, different political leaders can help us move out of that. But if you say don't vote, then you're just choosing to stay in your form of slavery. How long do you want to stay there?
Well, then the question is, do we vote for Biden or Trump? It's a very difficult decision to make, isn't it?
If you can't see that of a consciousness perspective, remember, the cabal can't control Trump. They have never been able to control him because he doesn't need their money, and money is their tool of control. Didn't you hear what I had to say earlier? You have to raise scores of millions of dollars just to become the candidate for the president, and the cabal controls who raises the money, and whichever candidate gets elected, they reminding them, you got there because of us, and if you don't play ball our way, we will control you, and if you don't surrender to that, you'll end up like John Kennedy. That message is so clear in the politics of people who understand that. And remember, I've been around this stuff for 25 years. I get it. Trump is the first president we have had in close to 100 years that cabal money could not control him because he didn't need it. He didn't need their money. Why do you think they so aggressively attack him? Why do you think the media just is so negative toward him? Because they attack him because the media and the entertainment industry and the others, they're all controlled by the cabal, and Trump doesn't play their game. Now, is it that it's not about do I like Trump or not. That's not it. Not it at all. It's about who is controlled by the cabal and at what point in time do we want to become free of that. That's what
interesting.
This is about. Okay? Does that
all
help?
Right, okay, yeah. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Folks, I understand I got a little demonstrative there, but hello. Come on. What kind of a world do we want to live in if we can't see? You see, if we spend so much time focusing on Trump versus Biden and their personalities, then you're living at the lower level of consciousness of the default thought system that sucks you into that so it controls you. Our job is to rise above it. Let them be who they're going to be. And understand that the political system is not about Republican versus Democrat. It's not about Biden versus Trump. It's about consciousness or slavery to the cabal. That's the system. That's the option that is being presented to us here. And almost anybody should be able to see it and understand the difference between the two for what is there. Trump has always been the person that they couldn't control him. Look at the recent issues that have been coming out about the recent stuff that's been – I'm not going to go into that, but I'll get going more than what I need to. Well, Blanca, let's go back to you. I'll let you share your comments on that after I shared mine. So.
Well, I do appreciate, the callers coming in and coming up with their questions, because it seemed to me this dear caller was actually wrestling with this. And it would be a nice exercise, especially for those who aren't decided, right, to just say, well, let me, instead of, this guy was fooling around with this and this guy accepted this money from the, all the stuff that's going to be thrown around, maybe say, well, let me look at this with a different filter, which is what you were encouraging them to do. Let's look at the filter of, if it's true that consciousness is rising, that humanity is going towards more freedom, more abundance, more self-responsibility, and less power and control, less lying and cheating, and less control by people outside of ourselves. And if you say, well, if I'm going to judge based on that, then you can look, for example, Biden, I think, has been in office. He's been in government for 47 years. So there's plenty of video and history about what he's done. And you could see, well, was that towards more freedom and more lifting of humanity? And then, of course, Trump has been in office for close to 4 years, and you could see what he has done. Now, the interesting thing is where are you going to go for your source of information? Because certain ones he named, like Hannity, and I think he named Bill O'Reilly, he's going to hear a more conservative slant, because, of course, that's where those people are coming from. And then if he were to look at some of the other, like the CNNs or the MSNBC, he'll be getting a different slant. So I would suggest, and he listens to you, so obviously he's open to alternative media. I would say look at some alternative media people who present information, and then go from there. So perhaps this is a way, the speaker that you put on today, Zingdad, said it's a litmus test of consciousness. So
yes,
maybe we can start looking at it that way. Okay, if it's a litmus test for consciousness, what do these two candidates represent in those terms? And one's going to have to go a little bit higher, like you were encouraging him to do, instead of, you know, the salacious, you know, who's flinging this mud and who's not flinging this mud.
Good. Well, we don't have anybody else that is saying that they wanted to call in to make comments or questions. And we've been going for almost approaching an hour and 10 minutes. I'm willing to call it an evening, Blanca, if you are.
I try not to make the program too long,
but it's interesting. It's challenging for all this. And folks, remember, I don't make any judgment about who it is you're going to vote for and stuff like that. I really try not to do that. Everybody is at different places in their lives about how we work through this stuff. Obviously, I have my opinion and my perspective, and you may have that a little different because you're at a different place walking down this path of life than what I am, and so you may see that differently. At the end of the day, regardless of who gets elected, it's always important that we learn to rise above, and it's what Zingdad said, so you're in that fifth dimension of consciousness and not the fourth. You're not surrendering to the power and the control of the political system, of allowing them to dictate how you feel about yourself, how you view life, how life goes on for you. You rise above that and learn to find it within yourself. And that way, then, whatever goes on out there in the political world, you're just an observer, and you're at peace within yourself, and you're not participating in the drama debates in your mind with what's going on in politics. I learned that. I was in the political world for about 25 years. I was an elected official myself for 12 years. And I've come to understand that I used to be a hardcore participant in the political process. And I look back at my life and I realize I was never really in peace a lot because I was always battling in the drama of what was going on. And I allowed myself to stay at that level. And it was after I got out of the political process, I learned how to step away. I learned how to be the observer versus the participant. And I learned how to bring myself to that higher level of understanding and consciousness so I'm at peace within myself. And there's no better place to be than that, because that is what brings us to the place where we're in control regardless of what's going on around us. So, okay. Well, Blanca, anything else you'd like to share before we call it a night?
No, I think we had a good discussion, and I think we're good.
Okay. Well, folks, then we'll see you again next week. Again, would love to have you attending, you know, the upcoming workshops, October 24th in Fort Lauderdale, November 7th, either going to be in Phoenix or possibly Sedona, and December 5th in Las Vegas. So thank you very much for joining us tonight, and we will see you next week.